At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. On today's episode, we are going to be doing Totally Legit or Calling the Cops. How this one works is we're going to read out four scenarios. We're going to discuss if we think they are legitimate in happening or if we are going to call the cops and say that that will not happen. Joining us on the show tonight, from way out west, the city of angels, is Charlie Smith. Charlie, how are you doing tonight, and where can the fans find you?
Doing well. Smith underscore MLB is where you can find me on Twitter.
Wonderful. Also joining us on the pod today from the Grand Strand, aka Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you doing, and where can the fans find you and the podcast?
Doing good. I can be found at Cushman MLB. The podcast account can be found at Bastards underscore Boston. My baseball only Facebook account, Terry Talks Sox. Find us on Instagram and YouTube as well.
Very good. So as I mentioned in the open, we will be discussing a couple of different scenarios tonight, some Red Sox related, some MLB wide, and the guys with us today are going to decide if they are legitimate or if they are fabricated and unlikely to happen. The first scenario that we have up is Alex Cora will resign by the end of the season. Charlie, do you think this is totally legit or are you calling the cops?
So this is a two-part answer. I don't think he's going to resign prior to the season happening or ending. I do not think that there are any real true plans to bring back Alex Cora for 2025 and beyond in Boston. I think the Red Sox want to go in a different direction. And truth be told, I don't think Alex Cora wants to be a part of the rebuilding process for this team. I think he wants to go play and manage he wants to go manage on a team that's destined for greatness. And right now the Red Sox we're not close in relation to some of the other teams out there that could be in use of a manager to get them to the next level. But I'll say this honestly, if he doesn't take a manager position and he ends up still being on another team and he's not the manager, that is a major shot to Boston. Because if it doesn't end up happening, you know, like I was sharing with you guys prior to going on the air, not talking about the contract with the Boston Red Sox and tabling that until the end of the year or tabling that until the off season has ended one distraction but created another one. So me personally, I think it is totally legit that he's not coming back and he will leave at the end of the year and go elsewhere. He's not going to re-sign with Boston.
Very well. Terry, what are your thoughts?
I think it's totally legit that Alex Cora doesn't finish the season with the Red Sox. And he could resign, and that's a very possible scenario. It could be a mutual parting of ways based on the idea that the Red Sox don't plan on bringing him back. But let me ask you guys this. When in recent or even long-term memory has a manager like Alex Cora been as respected, had a ton of leverage, and come out and told the media, I'm not negotiating during the season? When has that ever happened? It's never happened. Here's another thing. Do you guys have any idea as to what Alex Cora's salary was in year one of his tenure? Cody?
Wasn't it like $4 million or something like that?
No. Well, he's not even
less than that.
Like, he's not even making that now.
$2 million?
No.
Yeah, one Less than that.
He was making $900,000.
Wow.
That was in year one. He's making $3 million now. And then, as we've said, almost ad nauseum, Craig Counsell got a record-breaking contract to manage the Cubs for $8 million a year over 5 years. So $40 million over the life of his deal. I don't think John Henry wants to match that. And Alex Cora will get a deal that essentially matches or exceeds that. So that's part of why nothing's happened here. Another reason I think it could happen during the season is because it's less controversial during the season. After the season, now that it's over and there's going to be weeks and weeks of playoff baseball, the beat writers can drag that story out for as long as they want over the course of October. If he leaves the second week of August, yeah, it's going to be a big story for 2, 3, 4 days, but they got business to do. They have to cover these games, and it's going to get swept under the rug eventually. So I think it's less painful for both sides if it does happen during the season.
So I think the key wording here is resigns, right? I got to call the cops on the resignation aspect of it, but I think you gentlemen nailed it on the head. I don't think Alex Cora survives the end of the season, whether it be a mutual, you know, parting or, you know, he is flat out fired. I don't think he returns next year, and I don't think he wants to, for that matter, right? He's going to want to seek a higher deal for more annual value, excuse me. But this reeks to me of like a Friday afternoon news dump, right? After, you know, the team maybe scuffles to the trade deadline, sells off a couple of pieces, underperforms for the first couple of weeks after the All-Star break. And then, you know, it has been quietly announced that Alex Cora and the Red Sox have mutually parted ways or something like that. If I were to kind of see how the Alex Cora tenure in Boston, excuse me, ends, it seems like it'll be an unceremonious exit. And, you know, that is pretty unfortunate for a guy that has given this organization a lot. But I don't think I would necessarily be too bummed to see him go. The problem is now, you know, who's next, right? What's the next up-and-coming guy that you would like to have kind of in his seat? I know the name Fairtech has been thrown around a lot, but is that something that he wants to pursue? Are those the shoes that he wants to fill? Is this the team that he wants to manage with his first shot at it, right? You know, we kind of saw it go pretty poorly for David Ross at the beginning. He was able to get that turned around, and obviously, you know, they were able to have a couple of successful seasons there, but not every story is like that for a manager's first tenure. Back to you, Terry.
So I don't think Alex Cora really wants to be here at this point. I think he's sick of the mediocrity. I think he's sick of writing names like Reese McGuire, Vaughn Grissom, Dominic Smith, David Hamilton into that bottom half. And I know Hamilton has actually had a pretty decent month. He's hitting over 300 in that span, but I think he's tired of that. I think he's tired of writing Connor Wong and Dominic Smith into the, you know, 3 and 5 holes respectively. Those are spots where perennial all-stars go and future Hall of Famers for that matter. I think he's tired of this clown show of a lineup and then having to go out there and play the politics in front of the beat writers and defend it and take the bullets for the front office. I really think he's tired of that. And the most money he ever made in his career as a player, 3 seasons in a row, he made $2 million. That's the most he's ever made. He's making $3 million this year as a manager. The only reason he's here right now and hasn't resigned sooner is because he's making $3 million a year. That's the only reason he's here. And he's got to keep it clean, and he's got to keep it cool for when he interviews with all of those front offices. The fact he's played it so cool just makes his stock go higher this offseason. So I'm just throwing that all out there. And you mentioned Veritek. I highly doubt that's going to happen. I think Veritek wants it. And the reason I say that is because his wife threw a hissy fit, or I shouldn't say hissy fit, but had some cryptic tweets when Ron Renicki got chosen over Veritek in the 2020 season on Alex Cora's. He was fired, but it looks more like it was just a suspension at this point. But, you know, she was kind of miffed that Renicki got it over Veritek. And then if you skip forward to the present, I don't think Craig Breslow wants a guy that's going to be more popular than he is. That's not an enviable spot for, a chief baseball officer to be in. I think he's going to want his own guy. So I don't think Veritek will be it.
Would make a lot of sense, right? And then that becomes very uncomfortable on how do you handle such a fan favorite in the dugout. You know, what do you elevate him? Do you show him the door? And, you know, like you said, not an enviable position to be in. The second scenario that we are going to discuss tonight is Richard Fitz gets called up and starts 6 games this season. Charlie, do you think this is totally legit, or are you calling the cops?
So I had a look at Richard Fitz. It's his minor league baseball numbers just to see where he was this year. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. In a year where it's felt like so much has gone poorly for the Boston Red Sox, Fitz has actually done pretty well holding his own. In 10 total games, 9 of which he has started, he's 4-1 with a 3.72 ERA, 48 and a third innings pitched, 41 strikeouts, only 3 home runs allowed. So that mixed in with a whip that's, you know, sitting at a 1.2 right now, not the best, but not the worst. I think that it's possible that Fitz ends up getting the call if and when the Boston Red Sox sell 1 or 2 starters, and it could be 1 sell and 1 injured. It really does make sense to have Fitz be the next guy to come up. So 6 starts, that means he's going to be here for the last month plus tax. I think there's a good chance that happens. So I'm going to say this is totally legit.
Terry?
I agree with Charlie. I also think it's totally legit. You do 5 starts in a month. So September covers just about all 6, basically. You look at the numbers. I mean, a 3.72 ERA in Worcester, that doesn't look super sexy, but he did get lit up on May 17th. Only pitched 3 innings, 6 earned, got torched. If you remove that start completely and the 3 innings pitched, he would have a 2.79 ERA on the season in Worcester. He doesn't quite strike out 1 guy per inning. It's a little bit less than that. But, you know, he'd be working a lot more with Andrew Bailey once called up. So I haven't dived into, his pitch mixes, how he profiles, but he is coming off of a basically the best start of the season. 7 innings pitched. He only gave up 1 hit, and I think that hit was given up in the 7th inning. I think he took a no-hitter into the 7th. Struck out 7 that game. That is, looks like that ties for the most strikeouts. He had a 7 strikeout game in April as well. But why not? I mean, when we acquired him from the Yankees in the Verdugo trade, he was projected to be a number 4, number 5 starter. So that's not a guy you're worried about service time with at all. You're going to call him up based on if there's a need to call him up or not. And I think after the trade deadline, you're going to be at least 1 pitcher short. Criswell will have pitched by far more innings than he's ever pitched in his professional career at that point. I'm worried about Tanner Houck's load management. I mean, I think he's around, without looking, about 70, 75 innings pitched already. So you're going to need some bodies to finish out this year. And I think Richard Fitz will definitely pitch most, if not all, of 2025 in the Red Sox rotation. So why not break him in early? So I think it is totally legit. He'll pitch at least six starts.
I, too, think it's totally legit. And, Terry, he was perfect through his first seven innings. He had retired 21 in a row. So this guy, I think, is primed to be the pitching prospect that gets called up by the Red Sox, you know, for those late August, early September look-ins, right? The cupboard, as they say, is bare and devoid of talent in the Red Sox farm system when it comes to the pitching aspect of the program, right? And, you know, to give a guy that has some buzz and some excitement around him to give him the opportunity to work with Andrew Bailey, I think only makes too much sense. You know, when you look at the roster construction, Pivetta's potentially on the move. We don't know how long Criswell is going to be with the team. Cutter Crawford and Bayo are really the only guys that you have control over for a couple of years. We're going to need arms. And until the front office goes out and gets pitchers, you know, you got to promote from within. And he could be that guy, like you mentioned, in 2025. So you might as well get some licks in now in 2024 when it doesn't matter. If he needs to get lit up, let's do it. You know, when we can work on it in the offseason, have some film on it, say like, hey, here's how you're attacking hitters. Here's where they're trying to attack you. Give him the offseason program to work with and let him hit the ground running. So six starts really doesn't amount to be that many, especially if you do trade off a couple of those starting pitching pieces at the deadline. So I think it is, in fact, totally legit. The next one we have today is Aaron Judge will break his own American League home run record. Charlie, do you think this is totally legit, or are you calling the cops? Aaron Judge breaks his own American League home run record.
So Aaron Judge, and we talked about this on one of the last episodes, a couple years ago at 62, broke Maris's record the clean way. Granted, I definitely think some pitches are grooving pitches for him. He would need to have another month of May, twice more the remainder of the season at minimum, because he had an awful month of April. He mashed six homers, 17 RBIs, which sounds awful, but for Judge's standards, that is bad. He hit 220 in the month of May, 97 at-bats, 14 left the yard, had 27 RBIs and hit 361. If he can do June and July repeat at 14 per, giving him 28 more dingers, or even if we get 12 a month out of him, he's already at one so far for June. He did not have, I don't believe he has any others outside of that. Call it 12 a month on average, 24 plus what he's got 45. He would need another 17 home runs in August, September, and what's left in October. I think it's possible. I think I'm going to call the cops, though, because I don't think that Aaron Judge is going to be able to sustain that level of production. And you cannot discount the idea of Aaron Judge maybe missing some time. 6'7" frame. He's almost 290, 300 pounds. That's a lot of beating on a body and a lot of hit on knees and ankles. So I'm going to say that y'all enjoy the, you know, Yankees fans, congratulations. You guys had a crazy month of May out of Aaron Judge. I just don't think he's going to be able to replicate 12. I mean, again, 12 homers in June, 12 homers in July on the average. So that's 24 more in those 2 months alone, giving you 45 before August and September. I don't know if I can say yes. So I'm going to say calling the cops, and we can revisit this one end of year.
Terry?
Isn't that crazy that Judge is already 32 years old? Like, without looking, I would assume probably 27, 28, but he was kind of a late bloomer. Didn't really, his rookie season was 2017. So he was 25 at that time. Devers is 26 right now, I believe. So just to put that in perspective. But there's something about this Yankees team. And I'm trying to compare it to another Yankees team of the past, but does it feel like it's kind of like one of those late 90s teams? Because that's what it kind of feels like to me. You know, you look, I can't remember if it was the 95-96 season. Derek Jeter was breaking out. Now you have Anthony Volpe doing it, you know, as a shortstop. And it was just power hitters galore back then. And that's essentially what you have right now with Judge, Soto. Stanton's hit a number of dingers, but not really hitting great for average, but still relatively dangerous at the plate. And this team is just vibing right now more than it has since probably the last year they won the World Series, which was 2009. And I think this is totally legit. I think Judge is just going to ride the high that the team is on. The only thing that does give me a little bit of pause, as Charlie mentioned, he's one diving play from fracturing a rib. Hopefully he's smarter now. He's older, so theoretically he should be smarter. And, you know, you always worry about the oblique, you know, when you're swinging aggressively. But I just think this does seem like the team of destiny right now. And everything's clicking. They're getting great pitching. They're about to get Gerrit Cole back. And who knows? I wouldn't put it past Rob Manfred to give them different baseballs. I, you know, hate to go into conspiracy theory mode, but Judge, you know, he had 62 a couple years ago. I think he can hit at least 63 this year. And by the way, they haven't faced the Red Sox yet, so that could help.
You know, it's not like a Brady Anderson type season where he pop for 55 home runs, and then we never seen him have a number close to that before, right? The guy's hit 52 before. He's had a couple of high 30 seasons that probably could have been closer to the number had he not stayed, healthy, excuse me. But Terry, as you mentioned, everything is clicking for this lineup right now, right? In Blake Snell's start against the Yankees, he threw a ball that was in the bottom of the zone that would have got called a strike against anybody else, but because it's Aaron Judge and he's, you know, a mammoth, the bottom of the zone is like the middle of the dude's shin, and it was called a ball, right? In years past, that's been rung up. Judge has been thrown out. Boone has been thrown out arguing balls and strikes because the strike zone that Aaron Judge commands would be, you know, obviously a little bit higher and massive. I also think this is the deepest and most well-rounded lineup that he's been a part of, save since 2017, right? In the past, he's been protected by the likes of Gary Sanchez or Giancarlo Stanton, Didi Gregorius, DJ LeMahieu, Matt Holliday, and all of those guys are prone to go on dry spells, right? You have players like Anthony Rizzo, who's back to, you know, his pre-concussion form, and a player like Juan Soto. And as you guys mentioned, you know, Anthony Volpe has been going well. Stanton's been getting hot again. Pitchers are forced to pitch to Aaron Judge. Just to look at a couple of numbers that I think are also a bit frightening, what do you think his home run percentage was in 2022 when he did hit 62 home runs?
I have no idea.
Wait, home runs at – you're saying home runs at a total at bats?
Yeah, home run percentage.
I would say
33%.
Hold on. No, there's no way. Home runs out of total at-bats, maybe 9.7, 9.6.
8.9. What do you think it is this season already?
My bad.
No, you're good. You're thinking out of hits total. I'm going to give you that one. I think that's where your head went because that's originally where mine – all right, so we played 60 games.
Oh, we're doing the
legit. I'm going to say – all right, hold on. Let me do quick math. 60, I'm going to call 200. I think he's walked that many. So 200, he's had 21 home runs. It's probably about 10%. 9.9 to 10.
7.9. So he's already hitting home runs at a quicker clip this year than he was in his record-breaking season. Normally, the metric is how many at-bats per home run, Terry. I think that might have been what you were thinking of.
Yeah.
I think like McGuire in his heyday was doing like 13 at-bats, which is an absurd statistic.
I was thinking he had maybe 180 hits, and you factor in 60-something home runs. So that's how I got to one-third, but my bad.
Oh, no, no problems at all. His fly ball percentage is up. Obviously, his ground ball percentage is down. He's hitting line drives at a higher rate. His hard hit on batted balls in play is up. His strikeout percentage is down. He's, you know, hitting the ball to the opposite field better. So by all of the advanced metrics, not only is he going crazy right now, as you mentioned, he has been in God mode, but he's doing it, I guess, in the when he's going well, he's hitting the ball the opposite field kind of way, right? Like his metrics across the board are becoming, I guess, just more robust, more well-rounded. And so for me, I think that all spells that this guy is going to go for more than 62. I think it'll be really easy for him to keep this up as the summer months continue to heat up. Terry mentioned he hasn't played the Red Sox. The Rays aren't the pitching program of old. The Blue Jays are not doing themselves any favors. I think it'll be real easy for him to get to 63. Anything else that you gentlemen wanted to add on Judge? Nope. All right. The fourth and final totally legit or calling the cops scenario we have. The Houston Astros will miss the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Charlie, do you think this is totally legit or are you calling the cops?
So here's the thing. Houston Astros started the season off as arguably one of the worst teams. They were 7-20 or something like that. And that's me not looking, but I remember they were like so bad. And Terry had said, no, this team always just finds a way. It's Houston. And since that 7-19 start, they have now gone 19-15, better than 500. Better than the Boston Red Sox. The Houston Astros are also no longer in the basement of their division. They do have the Oakland Athletics and the Los Angeles Angels to thank for that. I do not think the Houston Astros are going to the playoffs this year. I am so shocked at how poor this team has been. And granted, some of their players have come back and they haven't been great. They have not been spectacular. The one bright side of this entire like Houston Astros team has been Kyle Tucker, who has 19 dingers so far on the year as of right now. But, you know, I don't trust that Jose Altuve is going to stay healthy. Yordan Alvarez is like a sneeze away from cracked ribs. I mean, the guy can't stay healthy to save his life. When he's in, he's on. But I just can't trust him to stay consistent. Yordan's a lock for about a 3,100 year. 2021, he had 33 home runs. The next 2 years at 37 and 31. RBIs from 2021 to 2023 had 104, 97, and 97 again. So he's pretty much a lock for, you know, 32, 33 home runs. And I want to say 96 to 97 RBIs. That's pretty much what you're going to get out of him based on health and whatnot. I don't trust the pitchers either. I really don't. You know, Verlander is old. I don't think that he's going to maintain what he's been able to do. Some of their starters have gotten injured. Hader has had a rough 2024 season, and I just don't trust this team to be able to figure it out. So, yeah, I think the end is here, and the end is near for the Houston Astros. They do not make the playoffs and totally legit.
Terry.
It's fascinating because let me start this way. Just on the record, I'm gonna call the cops. I think they can make the postseason. But what makes it fascinating is if they want to punt, they can do it. And they're not a team that signs mega deals. They sign team friendly deals, you know, like what Bregman is on, what Jose Altuve has done. They've gotten Justin Verlander on relatively short-term deals, big money, but short-term, you know, very low risk type situations. So what I'm getting at here is I don't think they're going to pay Kyle Tucker. And without looking, I think he's got 1 or 2 years left before free agency. Bregman probably similar, has 1 or 2 years left before free agency. If they want to trade both those guys, and maybe even Verlander for that matter, they can boost their farm. Their farm right now is ranked 29th. So they can trade some guys, acquire some assets, and have a very short retooling period to get back into yearly contention. They still have a very talented young core of players. And by the way, Valdez, Framber Valdez could be a trade candidate as well. But I don't think they need much to get back in this either. And that's why I called the cops and said, most likely they, if they want to, they can get back into it. You know, they didn't have Verlander to start the year. Valdez was on the injured list, so that contributed to a slow start. Hader and Presley didn't get off to good starts either. Hader has kind of gotten it together as of late. Altuve, Bregman, Pena, Tucker, Alvarez, all having pretty decent seasons. Offense isn't really the problem. They could use a first baseman. They've got this Joey Loperfido guy who I'm not that familiar with. Hitting for a pretty good average right now, but not a ton of power there. So they could use an upgrade there. They've got McCormick and Dubon in their outfield, so that could be an area in which they upgrade. They could target a middle rotation guy, a guy like Nick Pivetta, for instance. I can put Pivetta on any team, by the way. But, you know, they could go make the Jordan Montgomery midseason acquisition, and they can probably do it. I don't think the Mariners are going to have the offense here to really, you know, be a 100-win team. I just, they're all pitching, not a ton of offense. And I don't think the Rangers are going to be able to replicate what they did last year. So getting to that third wild card slot, I don't think the path is that difficult if they choose to go that route. Now, if they want to sell, like I made the case for, then so be it. But I don't think they want their streak to end this year. So I called the cops.
I am going to be calling the cops as well. Looking at the wild card standings, they are only 7.5 games back. And looking at the AL West standings, they are also 7.5 games back. So if they play, you know, kind of this over 500 baseball for the remainder of the season, which I know is quite the if, they're going to be in contention for both things, right? Whether it be a wild card spot or the division. You know, Terry laid out the case as to why the Mariners aren't going to be able to continue, you know, leading that division. And it can't be overstated how much extra baseball this team has played since 2016. I think they've been to, what, 8 straight ALCSs? That's a lot of extra games of high leverage, high stress, high intensity baseball. And as you guys mentioned, the offense hasn't necessarily been the problem. You know, Bregman sure hasn't been hitting as much as he normally would. Altuve hasn't gotten going like we know that they can, but that doesn't mean to say that they won't. It's really been the pitching that hasn't kind of held up their end of the bargain, but those horses are coming back. Hunter Brown is also pitching a lot better. He was one of the guys that they were really going to rely on to carry some water for them this season, and I think he's 1-5 with like a 6-plus ERA, but he tossed, you know, 6 great innings in his most recent start. So he is trending in the right direction as well. And this is a team that I won't say is dead until I see them outside of the postseason looking in and we have, you know, the full bracket set. We have the matchups. We have the projected starters. Because I've seen this team do it time and time again. They've looked dead in the water. They've looked lost. They've looked lifeless. And, you know, they figured it out. They found a way. And that's that championship mentality and that championship medal that this team has in spades. So for me, I'm going to call the cops. I don't think there is going to be a postseason without the Houston Astros for at least a couple more seasons. Anything else that you gentlemen wanted to add on that topic? All righty. We will wrap there for today. Thank you all for joining us for another episode. Have a great day and take care.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.